here besides mine? The red light was on. That's where it was. Thank you. God bless you, brother, for serving. How about family issues? Got anything going on in your family that might be a little strife or problems? How about relationships? You got anybody that you're up to here with? I might. What about thoughts? You have any troubles with your thoughts? I got a bumper sticker that says, "Don't believe everything you think." And the reason I have that is because it meant so much to me when I saw it. Don't believe everything you think. What about your diet? Everybody eating good? Yeah. You ever struggle with that? Is that a problem for you? It has been for me for a long time. What about your weight? Anybody overweight? Don't answer that. What about your ministry work? You got any challenges in your ministry? I know I sure do. Transportation. Hello. Is he here now? I thought it was going to be a trumpet. But I've been wrong before. I know some of you have had some transportation troubles. What are you doing to me?
Hello?
Let's try it again. Got any neighbors that aggravate you? Yeah. What about politics? You all good with everything going on with the Senate and the Congress and House of Representatives? I don't have any trouble there. Nah. It's all good. What about religion? See any struggles in the religious world? Might be one or two, huh? We're just a little bit away from our tax deadline. Some are like, woohoo, getting money back. Others of us are like, how much am I going to have to pay? Do I have enough to pay what I'm supposed to pay? What about death? That's a real serious one. I know at least one of us has walked that out real recent, huh? We got troubles. There's all kinds of troubles. Problems I didn't ask for. Problems I caused. Problems others. Me, we got other people's problems that share their problems with me. And then somehow they become my problems too. Because I love them and I really want to help them. We got problems, don't we? So I want to start with Deuteronomy 31:6. This is where Moses is about to be taken away. And he's talking to Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then just two verses later in verse 8, he says the same thing to Joshua, almost the same thing. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And the next one is Hebrews 13:5. Well, before I get to Hebrews 13:5, he's with us. However many times that the word says, I'm told 365, that it says, do not be afraid. Apparently that wasn't enough. I still get afraid. Do you? I know I do. Another translation of that is don't run. I try not to run. Sometimes the right answer is to run. Find yourself in the wrong situation. But when all these struggles come, the idea behind, oh my gosh, I got to handle it, I got to fix this, I got to deal with this, how am I going to feel? I go there often. I go there quickly. I'm putting my problem-solving hat on and trying to figure out application, how I'm going to fix these things. Do you? Sometimes we can't fix them, can we? Those are the times when our relationship with Him means the most. That's when I reach out to Him the quickest. When I hear people say, pray hard, sometimes I laugh and sometimes I know exactly what they're talking about. I really need you to pray hard for me. Well, if I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. There's different levels. About the only difference that I know of would be more time. Am I on my knees? Am I prostrate out on my face? There are some levels of prayer that can make a difference for me. Somehow being on my knees makes me feel closer to God. When I pray on my knees, I feel closer. And then whenever I'm laid out flat and I'm reaching out to Him and I'm asking Him to help me and lead me and guide me, I feel closer somehow that way as well. If you haven't done that, if you don't do that, it's a good idea to try it and see how it works for you. I know it helps me. But these problems keep coming. And they keep coming. And then a new one comes. And then a new one comes. And then, you know, I hear people say all the time that God won't give you more than you can handle. I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. I see that He says you won't be tempted more than you can bear, and that He'll leave you a way out. But I know when my problems get so big that I can't handle them, that's when I finally go, Lord, what? Help me, show me, lead me. I can't do this. I think the problems are there for a reason. Do I know what the answer is for each one? Boy, if I did, I'd... But I can tell you, the health issue that I mentioned, Patty and I have been dealing with that with her since 1999. So 20 years we've been dealing with this health issue of pain, a level of pain in her that just cripples her, sends her into depression. It does all kinds of, makes her meaner to me. We get a chance to deal with these things. We get a chance to ask God and trust God and get Him to, you know what, He hasn't let us down once. He's made a way for us to have a doctor that, the treatments that she's had in the last 20 years, I couldn't have made enough money to pay for all those. There's no way. So He keeps leading us, and He keeps helping us, and He keeps showing us. And I'm still asking, what are we missing, Lord? What are we supposed to be learning out of this? It's helped me understand how much more important my relationship is with Him, and it probably only took half of that 20 years to get me there. And I'm still growing in that direction. I cannot fix her. I cannot make it better as desperately as I want to. I want her to not have that pain anymore, not have to deal with all the things that she deals with because of her illness. But I can't fix them. I have to trust God and try to be the best husband that I can, and I stink at that sometimes. But it's the problems that draw me closer now. I mean, there was a time when I could tell you that this struggle did not draw me closer to God. I've stood in the middle of my driveway and screamed at Him, I'll never worship you, do that to my wife. And so I've really struggled with it at times. Today I'm at a place where I know God's with us. I know He's not going to forsake us. I know that He'll never leave us. So Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I lean into Him. I'm so glad that I'm trusting in Him. Because trusting in me doesn't work out very well. So we got problems, yeah, but I want to read you some scripture where we got problems, but they're not like these. Matter of fact, it's reading this scripture that I'm about to read to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's pretty sarcastic in this letter to the Corinthians. I mean, if you go back and read the whole letter, there's some stuff that he says in there that he's like, really? So you think that guy's better than me? And, you know, I've never taken a penny from you. I've made sure I haven't had to. So he really gets after him about a few things. But this is what he says, starting in verse 23. As they servants of Christ... Are they servants of Christ? Am I out of my mind to talk like this? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I've received from the Jews the 49 lashes minus one. He received that from the Jews. Catch that? The Jews did that. Doesn't say the Romans, says the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I've faced the daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. I've heard it said, that's the end of the scripture, but I've heard it said before that if we took all our problems, piled them all together, and we actually saw the problems that the other people were facing, we'd want our problems back. Our problems have never reached the level of Paul in this scripture. We have never been shipwrecked 3 times at sea, beaten with 39 times. That's like saying my people beat me 39 lashes, 3 times. He went through a lot worse than us. And I found that if I change my attitude a little bit to be grateful for the things I have, let's just go right to a really rough one that we went through yesterday with my mom. Who would ever think about being grateful for a stopped up toilet? It's kind of a far-fetched thing, huh? To think about being grateful for a stopped up toilet. How about those people out on the street that fight to find a place to use the toilet? They would love to have a toilet to unstop. They don't have one to unstop. I got a good friend that lived on the streets for a long time. To hear her tell the stories of how you have to do hygiene and find a place to use the restroom. Having trouble with your house payment? Be glad you got a house to pay for. Having trouble making rent? Be grateful you have a place that someone has allowed you to rent, that you have a place to sleep. Now, I've been to the point where I didn't even have one pillow. They don't give you pillows in prison. Now I've got 4 or 5 pillows on my bed. I'm a pillow guy now. Whatever it is in your life, God has sent it for a reason. He's allowed it. And there's some tough stuff going on in my world right now. I don't know about yours, but I got some tough stuff. So changing my view of why that is, it's kind of like that, you set me free. I've been redeemed. You set me free. When I will do what the scripture tells me to do with these things, he sets me free. I can be okay. I can trust that he really is going to work it out. Now, he does expect us to get the plunger and de-stop the toilet. He's not going to send a band of angels down for a stopped up toilet. So there are some things that we have to do to deal with these problems. To work to get the check to pay the house payment or to pay the rent. We have to do whatever it is. If it's something that we can't fix, we have to grow our trust in him. If it's something that we know that we need to do something about, we need to be brave enough to do it and stand up and say, okay, I'll do it. And if I say I'll do it, then I need to be sure that I do it, right? Yeah. So there are things that we have to do. So I'll admit to all y'all I'm not quite here yet, but let's go to James chapter 1. Let's go to James. He's sitting right over here. Let's all go to James. Oh. He's asking God to forgive him for calling himself King James. I love it. Funny how quick we could get there, though, thinking that we're really something. You know, it's a long ride from the top of the mountain to the bottom. It can happen really quick. Pride can be one of these things that can really wipe us out. Matter of fact, it can do it a lot worse than a stopped-up toilet. If we can't handle a stopped-up toilet, we can call a plumber. If we think we're full of it and all that, and number one man, top dog, Mr. Big, God sometimes has to move mountains to convince us we're not. So let's get to the scripture. James 1, 2 through 9. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's the first thing you think of when you run into a trial? Need to study the Word more. Need to get closer to Him. Need to ask Him to help us do this. We can switch our thinking whenever we get ready to switch our thinking. The biggest problem is what? It's us, isn't it? My biggest problem is me. The way that I think, the way that I act. How I'll instantly look at something and see it all wrong. I won't be thinking somebody stole our tent. I'll be analyzing all the other things instead of seeing what's right in front of me. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Dang, that's been me before. I can't do it without His help. I just cannot do it without His help. These things shake me up, throw me off. There's some big life issues that happen that just, ooh, scare the heck out of me. If I will continue to do what the Word tells me to do and understand what He's trying to show me, that it's bigger, God is more concerned with our character than He is with our comfort. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can look through my life, and some of the times when I was the least comfortable was the times that He used the most to grow me. Because when I'm least comfortable is when I'm apt to reach for Him more and ask Him for His help and surrender my life again and surrender these troubles to Him again. And so these things He uses to draw us closer to Him, if we allow Him to. They can also turn us further away if we have the wrong attitude, make the wrong decisions about it. Am I really willing to say, Lord, I can't do it? Or do I want to get out my calculator? Do I want to get out my pen? I mean, there's some things that we still have to do something with. I've had people that talking about changing jobs, and I'm like, okay, write down all the benefits of your job and all the negatives, and write down what you think the benefits are. There's some evaluating and some concerns and some things that we have to do to look at different situations. I'm not saying don't care about anything or don't make any effort at all. That's not how God made us. What He made us for is a relationship with Him. And so if we use all these situations that we're going through to get closer to Him, to allow them to draw us closer to Him, we're going to get through it better. Even if it's death. I've been through some funerals that were people that were non-believers. Believe me, it's a dark, dark, dark place. When it's a funeral of a believer, there's some praise God, thank you, the pain's ended. Lord, we're so grateful that you got them home. At the same time, we miss them terribly, right? It hurts that they're gone, but we're so grateful that they're not hurting and in pain anymore. We went through that not long, 2 years ago with my stepdad. He had been struggling for months to breathe, to eat. He couldn't breathe without a machine. He couldn't eat any food. He was on a feeding tube. Man, that stuff was hard to walk through. With his passing, it was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for calling him home. There's others. I had one of my friend's friends, I just saw where his son was killed in a car wreck. Those are tougher. The mother posted about texting and driving. It was a texting and driving death. And she told them, 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 and she begged him, and she asked him, and she told him, and she told him some more, and she begged him, and asked him, and told him, and he didn't listen. And he died in a car wreck because he was texting and driving. Yes, dear, I read it. Because she's been telling me and telling me and telling me and telling me and begging me and telling me, and I still do it. I'm going to say, I used to do it. God's going to free me from that trouble. There's nothing as important as keeping others safe. Some people would hear that story and go, well, at least it was only the one person. At least he only killed himself. That's still not good. But you could kill a lot more. There was a drunk driver in Rowlett that boned a police cruiser right in the middle, and nobody was killed, but he was drunk. He hit a parked police car and just totaled that car and his car, and when they got to him, are you okay? The guy's drunk. People still make the decision to drive drunk. People still make the decision to use heroin. People still make all kinds of decisions that are wrong. We don't have to be that person. I'm not saying we're ever going to get to where we don't make any bad decisions. We can make some bad decisions, can't we? What do we do about it? We acknowledge it. We take them to the Lord. We ask him to help us, forgive us, lead us, change us. All these things, whether it's the troubles, whether it's the situations, whether it's the actions of others, if we learn to live life this way to where it's always, I need you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Show me how to love them, Lord. Because there's some people in this world that are really hard to love. There's at least one right now I'd just like to... That's not what I'm supposed to do. We got troubles. This is one of my favorites right here. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen? This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, though through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. See, he knows. He knows we've suffered grief in all kinds of trials, and we still are, right? It's not over yet. There's troubles in this world. Verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you have loved him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our time here is not that long. I mean, I've found right now that 59 years is a whole lot shorter than I thought it was. We're talking about eternity. That's hard to even imagine, isn't it? You say 100 million years. Well, you're just getting started. Our life here is short. This life is to practice for eternity. This is the live practice for our lives in eternity. Are we going to turn to him? Are we going to worship him? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to grow in him? Because he is with us. Those scriptures that we read in Deuteronomy, he's before us and he's with us. So he's out ahead of us and he's with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Do you have one single problem that's bigger than the creator of the universe? Seriously. Think about your biggest one. The biggest problem you got right now. Is that bigger than God? Do you have a single problem that's bigger than the Holy Spirit in you? Do you have a single problem that's bigger than the blood of Jesus Christ? If you think you do, you don't really know him well enough yet. You need to keep focusing on who he is. Because none of these problems that we face are bigger than God. He's going to get us through them. He loves us. He's never going to leave us. He's with us right now. He knows what you're going through. The question is, are you going to surrender to him? Are you going to trust him? Are you going to doubt him? Are you going to try to figure it out? And we have to figure out what it is our part to do. And do it. And trust him to do his part. So, where have you not been trusting him enough? Where have you not been willing to surrender? What problem to you is that one that you thought of a while ago? Is it bigger than the creator of the universe? I want you to think about that for a minute, because what I want to ask you now, is there anywhere in your life, is there anything in your thoughts that isn't, Lord help me, that isn't, I trust you? Is there anywhere like that in your life right now? Because that's the part we can work on. I can't fix the health issues that are going around here. I can pray for you. I can love you. I can walk through them with you, but I can't fix them. There's still another one going on right now, isn't there? I know, because I have relationships with a lot of you, I know a lot about what each one of you is going through. And I love you. I can't fix them. God did not fix them. He said no for 20 years in our relationship. That's not saying he can't. Do I believe that he can? Absolutely. I know that God can do that. I know there's nothing he can't do. Is there something else he wants me to do? I don't know. Probably trust him more. That's probably what it is. He probably, because I, as much as I could possibly say that I trust God and I lean to him and I surrender these things to him, there's still another situation that will come up and go, I got this. Oh, really? Let me know how that works out for you. We need to grow more in our faith in him. We need to grow more in our trust in him. We need to look at these things differently. These problems can grow us. They can either grow us or push us away. Not just from him, from each other. I don't know how many broken relationships I have in my life, but there's some more that are, you know, right on the verge. What am I going to do with them? Am I going to trust him? Am I going to surrender them to him? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? Is there something that you need to confess, that you need prayer for now, that you're not really doing a good job of surrendering, that you're trying to overanalyze like Tonto was, that you need to lay it down? So while the band comes up and plays, we're going to open the altar. If you want someone to pray with you, someone to talk to you, the pastors are going to be up here. Ronnie and Buck are going to come up. We got troubles. What are we going to do with them? You ready to surrender more? You ready to trust him more? You ready to grow more? Let's do it.